okay either. Don't guess you want to tell me about it?
No, I didn't. Verbalizing it made it real. Just thinking about it in my head was easier.
He's attached to you. I've never seen him act about anyone the way he does about you. Honestly, it concerned me. You've been through too much to be expected to take on his baggage, too. He needs to realize he can survive this without you holding him up.
That made it sound like I'd abandoned West. I didn't like thinking about it that way. I'd never do that. He got furious because another guy talked to me today, I replied. It's not healthy. He looks at me like I'm his possession to protect so no one can snatch me away. We're only in high school. That's not normal. Brady walked over and sat on the edge of my bed.
I agree, it's not. But West has always had a temper, even when we were kids. I think a bit of that is coming through now. Not that it makes it okay, it doesn't. You're a person, not his personal belonging.
Exactly, I muttered, feeling guilty for talking about him like this. He wasn't here to defend himself, and I was telling his best friend things I shouldn't.
He wanted to come over. I told him no, that he needs to give you time to work through whatever you're dealing with,
Brady explained.
You did the right thing.
But West was alone. He had no one there with him. He's all by himself, I said, feeling the guilt weigh heavily on my already aching heart. Brady stood up.
I'm headed over there now. I called Nash already, and he should be there any minute. We got him. You take care of you. This past month, you've made breakthroughs no one thought you could. You're talking, Maggie. That means you're healing. Focus on you. I'll take care of West.
My eyes stung from unshed tears as I nodded. He was right. West had someone. In fact, he had a whole group of friends who would stand with him through anything. He wasn't alone. I was. When I finally fell asleep that night, Brady still hadn't returned. I was relieved. Knowing he was staying with West had helped me calm down enough to sleep. Today I'd have to face school. I'd have to face West. I'd have to face my choice. Getting up was harder than going to sleep at Ben. I wanted to stay hidden away in my room for weeks, until my chest didn't hurt anymore. I had known from the start that West Ashby could hurt me if I let him in. I just hadn't expected it to feel like this. I had imagined him breaking it off with me because he wanted someone else, or he was bored. This was so much harder. I had been the one to hurt him. Me. The look on his face wouldn't stop taunting me, reminding me of how much it had crushed me to say those words to him. Hungry? I made waffles, Aunt Coralie said as I walked into the kitchen. Eating made me feel nauseous, but she'd made a stack of waffles, and I knew Brady wasn't here to eat them. Brady isn't here, I said, hoping she knew that already. I didn't want to get him in trouble. She gave me a sad smile and nodded. I know. I'm about to take these over to West's. There's a house full of boys who need food. I spoke with Brady 30 minutes ago. She walked over to me, put her arm around my shoulders, and then kissed the top of my head. Are you okay? She asked softly. I nodded simply because I didn't want to talk about it. She squeezed me to her. In life, we often have to make decisions that aren't easy. But it doesn't mean they aren't right. But what if they're wrong? I asked before I could stop myself. She let me go and moved to fix me a plate. Then fate steps in and fixes things. You just have to trust it. I didn't say any more, but her words played over in my head, and I hoped she was right.
You'll lose her if you don't. Chapter 44. West. Mom's bringing waffles, Brady said, as he opened the curtains in my room and let the sunlight pour inside. Get up and get showered. Nash is still asleep on the sofa. I'll throw some ice on him before I leave. It's the only way he'll get up. We had stayed up most of the night. The guys had tried to get my mind off things, but it hadn't worked. They just made it so I hadn't been alone. If I had, I'd have ended up at Maggie's window. More than once last night, I wondered if that was why Brady had come over with all the guys, to keep me from going to Maggie. I wanted to resent him for it, but he was the only one who could keep me sane right now. He told me about talking to her and how he really felt like she needed time to herself, to accept how far she'd come. It was all too much for her, and I was scaring her with my intensity on top of it. Thing was, I didn't know how to be any other way with her. She made me a little crazy. "You taking Maggie to school?" I asked him, knowing the answer. He didn't say anything at first, but finally he gave me one small nod. "I'll eat at my house. The rest of the guys are up and dressed, waiting on Mom to come feed them. I think they left you hot water." "How do I handle today?" I asked him before he could leave the room. He turned to glance back at me. "You give her space. You realize you can survive without her to lean on, and you make it through." He didn't get it. He'd never been in love. What did he mean by space? Was I just supposed to ignore her? So I asked him, "How do I give her space?" He shrugged. "You know, just leave her alone. Let her breathe." "Ignore her?" I asked. My voice was hard and angry, but I couldn't help it. He raised his eyebrows. "Yeah, I guess so." I stood up and threw my pillow across the room. "Fuck that! How the hell am I supposed to ignore her, Brady? Huh? I can't ignore her. I'm in love with her." I'd never said that aloud before. Not even to her. "If that's so, then you need to find a way to back off. You'll lose her if you don't." "I've already lost her." The words sliced through me as I said them. "No, you haven't. I've talked to her. Remember, I know what she's thinking. All you did was scare her. She believes she's just your crutch and nothing more. That's why she's doing this. I can assure you she has no idea you love her." I should have told her. "If I tell her, she won't believe you. She'll think you're telling her whatever it takes to get her back. You're going to have to let her go." I'd never be able to let her go. But I could pretend that I had if it's what she needed from me. She'd been there for me when I needed her. It was time I did whatever I had to do to make her happy. If stepping back was it, then I'd do it. Asa and Gunner both stayed until I left the house, trying to get me to ride with one of them. But I wanted the freedom of having my truck. When I finally pulled out of the drive and headed to school, they followed behind me. It was like they had to be sure I was going to show up for class. I timed it, so I was walking in just as the last bell rang. Now we would all be late to first period. But I hadn't asked them to wait on me. I just couldn't handle going to my locker and seeing Maggie. I wouldn't be able to ignore her, and I didn't trust I wouldn't start begging her right there in front of everyone. "I got Mr. Tremble first period," Asa said with a grin. "He won't count me late," he added as he ran past me. Gunner came up beside me. "We won't get counted late either if we hurry." I didn't mind getting a late slip in exchange for putting off going to class, but I knew Coach would have me running suicides after practice if he got word I was late. That was protocol for a player being late to school. "I need to grab my notebook," I told Gunner. He shoved a notebook at me. "Use this one and run," he said, before breaking into a run himself. I followed behind him. When practice was over, I wanted to go home and be alone. Last night, I hadn't been given room to think. They had all meant well, but being by myself was what I wanted right now. Gunner opened the door to our first period class and stepped inside. Mrs. Sentel glanced up at us and frowned, then motioned for us to take a seat. "Glad you could join us, boys," was all she said. I sat down beside Gunner, who found an empty desk first. He glanced at me and smirked. "Told ya." "Hey, West," a blonde I didn't know said as she turned to smile at me. Gunner chuckled beside me. "The news you're a free agent again is out?" I ignored them both. If I was to prove to Maggie that I loved her, then girls like this one weren't going to help. I shot Gunner an annoyed glare. He just laughed harder. Asshole.
I don't like attention. Chapter 45. Maggie. This was something I had to face sooner or later. I couldn't avoid West. That wasn't possible or fair. Not going to my locker for the first three periods had been tough. It was time I faced reality. Although, he wouldn't actually be there this time because of his schedule, so I wasn't really facing anything yet. Moving through the crowd, I could feel people watching me. It had been that way all morning. Several girls had called me a bitch and a whore. The general consensus was that I was a horrible person for breaking up with Wes just after he lost his father. Part of me agreed with them. When I finally reached my locker, I opened it quickly, only to have it slammed closed by a hand with long red fingernails. The metal door just barely missed my hand as I jerked it back. "You are a low-life scum," a female voice hissed in my ear. I knew that voice. I had expected her to confront me at some point today. I just hadn't expected her to do it like this. I turned to face Ray Lee. She was glaring at me with something close to triumph. "You're a cold-hearted bitch," she said, loud enough for everyone around us to hear. People got quiet, and I knew we had an audience. That was just going to make her worse. I didn't respond to her. She was angry because she cared about West. She wanted to be furious with me and to have a right to be. This was her chance. "Nothing to say? What, you're going to be silent again?" she asked, then shoved me in the chest until I fell back against the locker behind me. She pointed her finger in my face, and I wondered if she planned on clawing me with it next. "You weren't good enough for him. You're a freak. Just a freak." Right before her pointy nail touched my face, she was jerked back.
"Why don't you go take your crazy bitch demonstration somewhere else?" Nash said, moving her away from me and putting himself between us. "I think Maggie has seen enough to know that you are indeed fucked up."
"You're taking up for her? You're his friend," Ray Lee yelled.
"I'm one of his best friends, and even if Maggie wasn't one of my friends too, I'd be doing this for him. Because West would lose his shit if he'd seen this. Attacking her ain't getting him back, Ray."
"She used him!" Ray Lee's voice carried down the hallway now that everyone had gone silent to watch.
"No, Ray Lee. She saved him. When no one else could. Now take yourself far away from her before this bat-crazy episode you just had gets back to him. Because he'll come for Maggie first to check on her. Then he's coming for you."
"You're wrong. He'll need me," she said, sounding convinced. I hated that the idea of West with her or any girl made my stomach twist in knots. I had been the one to end what we had. He would move on, and when he did, I would have to deal with it. Nash shook his head, then turned back around to face me. The concern in his eyes almost made me cry. I hated drawing attention to myself, but today it seemed like just breathing brought attention I didn't want.
"You good? Bitch is loony as hell," Nash said with a roll of his eyes.
I managed a nod. I wasn't good, but that wasn't Ray Lee's fault.
"You look pale,"
he said, frowning. "I don't like attention," I whispered, afraid people were still listening to us. He sighed.
"Well, babe, you're gonna have to deal with it for a while. I've heard what they're all saying. That's why I came to find you. See if you were okay."
"Thanks," I said through the lump in my throat.
"Get your things. I'm walking you to your next class. I'll have Brady know you need an escort after this one. Between us, we should be able to keep you covered for a while. At least until they find something else to focus on."
I wanted to tell him that I didn't need that, that I could take care of myself. But I couldn't. Because if he hadn't shown up, Ray Lee would still be in my face, yelling at me while everyone watched. "Okay," I replied and turned back to my locker.
"He's gonna be furious when he finds out about this. When he comes to find you, know his anger isn't at you. It's because he thinks he's caused this to happen to you." He wants to protect you. He's not going to take this well.
A tear escaped, and I reached up and wiped it away quickly. If only his need to protect me was something more, something deeper. Not simply his need to have me beside him so he could cope with things. I wanted to be more to him than someone to lean on. "Ready," I said as I tucked my books close and fell into step beside Nash. He didn't ask me questions or mention West. We walked in silence to my next class. Once we were there, I thanked him and went inside. Eyes locked on me, so I dropped my gaze to the books in my arms and found a desk in the back. If I were going to make it through class, I needed to be where as few people as possible could look at me.
I Want to Belong to You. Chapter 46. West. Nash walked into class just as the late bell rang. His eyes scanned the room until they found me. His frown deepened as he made his way back to where I was sitting. There wasn't an empty seat beside me, but he stopped by a guy with curly hair and glasses and convinced him to move over before taking his seat. I glanced at him, and he turned his attention to me. There was a problem at the lockers, but I handled it and she's fine, Nash whispered. My chest tightened and I clenched my fists. Explain, I said, not giving a shit if anyone heard me. I was ready to bolt and go find Maggie. The fact that I was supposed to be giving her room was the only thing keeping me in my seat. Rayleigh cornered her at her locker. I didn't need to hear any more. I stood up and started walking for the door. Where do you think you're going, Mr. Ashby? The teacher asked. I'm sick, I replied before opening the door and stalking out. I should have found out more from Nash, like if Rayleigh had touched her. But my instinct to go find Maggie and check on her was stronger. I started toward Maggie's class when the door reopened behind me. West, wait, Nash called out. Going to find Maggie, I replied, not stopping. She's fine. I took care of it, was his response. Did Rayleigh touch her? I asked, my voice rising with the thought of anyone hurting Maggie. Nash didn't respond, and I knew I had my answer. She was taken up for you in her crazy-ass way. The females in this school have come to the conclusion Maggie is the enemy since she broke up with you. Surely you've heard the talk today. It was bound to happen. Someone was going to confront her. That made me stop. What? I asked him incredulously. What do you mean, what? He looked confused. What are they saying? The girls? I nodded. Shit about Maggie? She's not responding to it. She's keeping her head down. I walked her to class and texted Brady to get her after and walk her to lunch. The buzz will die down soon enough. Wait. I stopped him as my stomach twisted and anger pulsed through my veins. Are you saying that people have been talking shit to Maggie all day about this? Because of me? Nash nodded. Motherfucker! I roared and broke into a run toward Maggie's class. I thought you'd have heard them, Nash called out. If I had heard them, I would have shut them down. What did he think I was doing? Letting them talk about Maggie? Seriously? Did my own friends not even realize I was in love with her? I stopped at the door to the classroom she was in and took a deep breath. My emotions were all over the place. I hadn't meant to cause her any pain, yet that was all I seemed to be able to do. She had run from me because I'd acted like an ass. I was clinging to her and not even taking into consideration the fact that she had her own demons to face. She needed me, and all I had done was take from her. I was ready to be her shoulder to cry on. I wanted her to lean on me for a change. I wanted more. Jerking the door open, I searched the room until I found her in the back, looking like she was ready to crawl under her desk. "Can I help you, West?" Mr. Banks asked. "I need to see Maggie, please, sir," I replied, tearing my eyes from her to look at him. "Okay, but please be quick," he replied. I turned my gaze back to her. If I could plead with a look, I was doing it. Slowly, she stood up and made her way toward me. Her eyes were on the floor, and her hands were fisted together in front of her. He was nervous. I never wanted to make her nervous. When she reached me, I stepped back and let her walk out into the hallway before closing the door and giving us the privacy we needed. "Are you okay?" I asked, fighting the urge to reach out and pull her against me.
"I'm fine,"
she replied in a whisper. "I'll handle Rayleigh. She won't bother you again. I swear it," I said fiercely. She shrugged.
"She cares about you. She was defending you."
No, Rayleigh cared about herself. This hadn't been about me. She'd seen an opening to attack Maggie, and she'd taken it. If she cared about me, she wouldn't have touched you. People who care about me would protect you, like Nash. Maggie lifted her gaze to meet mine. Her eyes reflected so many of the same emotions I was trying to deal with.
"I didn't want to hurt you."
"I know, but I was hurting you. I wasn't being what you needed." She broke our eye contact as she glanced down the hallway.
"You just lost your dad, West. I should have been more sensitive."
Screw not touching her. I reached out and covered her hand with mine. "You were right. I was using you as a way to cope. I wasn't giving you anything in return. I was obsessed with having you beside me, knowing you were mine. That wasn't helping you. That was my trying to own you." She didn't respond, but she didn't move her hand away either. "We started this because you could listen and understand what I was dealing with when no one else could. Yes, you became my crutch. I wanted to be near you to draw from this amazing strength of yours." She sniffled, but didn't look back at me. "Things changed, though. Yes, you became someone I can lean on, but you also became more than that. I looked forward to hearing your voice, seeing your smile, and, God, listening to you laugh. I love the way you laugh. All of those things became things I loved. I would have never..." I stopped. What I needed to say, I wanted to make sure I said right. I didn't want to screw it up. This was important. This was my chance to fix all I'd messed up. "That night when we slept together, Maggie, I needed her to look at me. Reaching over, I slid a finger under her chin and turned her face until her eyes met mine. "Maggie, I knew I loved you then. I didn't tell you because my emotions were so raw that night. I didn't make love to you because I needed comfort. I made love to you because I wanted to be as close to you as possible. Because, although I had lost my dad, I had been given you. Someone who made me feel whole inside. Who gave me a reason to smile every day. And I let myself go a little insane with my need to hold on to you. I don't want to possess you, Maggie. I want to belong to you. I'm willing to give you all the time you need. But you have to know I am in love with you." I dropped my finger from underneath her chin and moved my hand away from hers. She didn't say anything as her wide eyes filled with tears. It took every ounce of willpower I could muster to leave her there and walk away.
Do-over. Chapter 47. Maggie. He loved me. Everything he said was more. It was what I needed. The sadness and ache that had taken up permanent residence in my heart were lifted. West Ashby loved me. I wasn't just someone he needed to get through his loss. I was more than that. "Wait," I called. He'd walked off behind me, and I turned around to see he'd only gotten halfway down the hall. He stopped, and for a second I wasn't sure he was going to look at me. When he finally did, his eyes held hope. So much hope I could see it from where I stood. I called out to him again. "I didn't want you to wake up one day and not need me anymore. I wouldn't have been able to survive that kind of heartbreak. I wanted more. I fell in love with you, and it terrified me." He started walking back to me, his long strides determined as he kept his eyes locked on mine. When he reached me, he cupped my face in his hands and stared down at me.
"Thank God,"
he said fiercely before his lips covered mine. I clung to his shoulders as happy tears slid down my cheeks. His thumbs brushed them away as our tongues collided, and we held on to each other as if it were the last time.
You're not real good with a giving her space thing, are you?
Brady's voice startled me, and I pulled back and glanced over West's shoulder to see my cousin looking more amused than anything. West grinned, then pressed a kiss to the tip of my nose before sliding his arm around me and turning to look at Brady.
Apparently not,
he drawled as he smirked at my cousin. Brady laughed and shook his head.
As long as she's happy,
he replied. Then his gaze met mine. He was looking for an affirmation from me. I'm very happy, I assured him. He nodded, then moved his gaze back to West.
Show me that you deserve her.
West's arm tightened around me.
I will. Good, because I can't go kick Ray Lee's ass, but I can kick yours.
This time, it was me who laughed. Tonight, I had a date with West. A real date. The kind a couple goes on. The kind we'd never really had before. It was only slightly awkward when Uncle Boone asked West where we were going and reminded him to take good care of me. I think I preferred sneaking out of my window to that. West didn't seem bothered by it, though. He seemed pleased more than anything. As we drove down the road, he patted the seat beside me.
Scoot over here.
I did as I was told and happily moved to sit as close to West as possible.
You haven't asked where we're going,
he said as he put his hand on my leg. Because I don't care as long as I'm with you. He grinned and squeezed my thigh.
I know that feeling.
I laid my head on his shoulder. So, tell me where we're going.
Well, I had several ideas, but none of them seemed special enough for our official first date.
That didn't answer my question. Not that I really cared, but I was getting curious now. That tells me nothing. He chuckled.
No, I guess it doesn't.
He was teasing me. Why do I feel like I got tricked into this conversation without knowing it? West kissed my head.
I've decided telling you doesn't make it sound as good as it actually is.
When he turned to head down a road that led to the field party, I sat up and watched. There weren't any field parties tonight. What was he doing? Are we going to the field? I asked. He didn't respond. A small grin tugged on his mouth, but that was all I got. So I waited. Sure enough, West pulled his truck into the empty clearing and cut the engine. He stared straight ahead for a moment, then finally turned to me.
It was here I saw you for the first time. I thought you were beautiful. Might as well know that. You had me with just one glance. But I had left my mom at home with my sick dad, and I was worried. I felt guilty because I was here. I was angry because I couldn't just be here and enjoy it. My dad was slipping away from me, and I was terrified.
He paused and reached for my hand.
That night, I was broken and close to shattering. The pain was becoming unbearable, and I had no one. Then there was you.
I felt my eyes sting from unshed tears. Thinking over the past month since the first time I'd met him, so much had happened. His pain may have been what had drawn us together, but I would take it away in a second if I could, even if it meant not having this with him now.
I took what I wanted that night. You were a distraction at first. You were this gorgeous, silent girl who hid in the shadows. I wanted to lose myself in you, and for a brief moment I did just that. The taste of your lips was sweeter than anything I'd ever experienced. For a second I forgot my pain, my fears, my anger, and I just enjoyed being with you.
He picked up my hand and kissed my knuckles before turning it over and kissing my palm.
I had no idea how precious you were. No idea that I'd just found the one to stand by me, to hold on to me and to help me learn to heal. I'm so thankful you opened up to me and spoke. When I think about not having you, it hurts. I couldn't have faced what I've faced without you.
A tear slipped free, and Wes moved his hand to catch it with his finger.
You became the most important part of my life. I don't want you to ever question that. And I'd like to do over the first night we met,
he said with a grin. Do over? What? I asked, confused, as he opened the truck door. He stepped down then, turned around, and got my hand to pull me to him.
I want a do-over,
he repeated, then winked at me.
In order to do this right, I need you to go stand over by that tree and look like your usual breathtaking self. Once you're in place, we are repeating the events of that night. But instead of me being hurt and angry, I'm gonna be the guy you needed, the one you healed. I'm gonna sweep you off your feet so fast, you won't know what hit you.
This time I laughed as another tear slipped free. I nodded and walked over to the tree where I had gotten my first kiss. That night I had been so lonely until West had shown up. He'd brightened my world, and he didn't even realize it. He thought he needed to do it over. I disagreed, but I went along with it. West gave me a thumbs up when I was standing exactly where he'd seen me that first night. As he walked over just like he'd done then, I wanted to giggle. It seemed silly, but it was sweet. I'd give him that.
Why are you out here all alone? The party's in there.
He nodded toward the clearing in the woods. I bit back my grin. Am I supposed to talk or be silent? I wasn't talking back then, I said quietly, trying to keep a straight face. West cocked an eyebrow at me and lowered his head until his lips were very close to mine.
You're not very good at do-overs, are you?
He asked me. I giggled. You didn't make that part clear. He kissed the corner of my mouth.
Let's just get to the good part. I excel at this scene,
he whispered, then covered my mouth with his. That first night, I'd been so unsure. So much had changed since then. I knew exactly what to do now. I slid my hands up his arms, loving the way they flexed under my touch, before holding on to his shoulders. Our tongues danced and teased while Wes's hands moved just under the bottom of my shirt and brushed against my skin. That definitely hadn't happened that night. But tonight I wanted it to. I lifted my hands higher and locked them around his neck, making my shirt rise and tempting Wes to touch more. He did. Both his hands moved up and cupped my breasts as a small cry that I couldn't help escaped me. I loved his hands on me and the way they made me feel. Too suddenly he pulled back.
If I'd done this that night, I would have expected you to knee me in the balls, he said, breathing hard.
I probably would have fainted. He kept his hands on me and brushed his thumb over my nipples through the satin of my bra. I shivered and squirmed, trying to get more.
We aren't ready for this part of our night. I have a plan,
he said, his eyes full of the same arousal I was feeling. I thought this was your plan, I said, closing my eyes as he moved his fingertips just inside the satin of my bra.
No, but it is a hell of a lot better.
Take all the time you need. Chapter 48. West. 2 weeks later. I held Maggie's hand as we stood at her mother's grave. Last night after the game, we hadn't gone to the field to celebrate. Instead, we'd packed our bags. Maggie hadn't been to her mother's grave since the funeral she barely remembered. When she'd shared that with me, I had wanted to get her there. I visited my dad's grave every Saturday morning to tell him about the game the night before. It helped me cope. It made me feel like he was close, even if he wasn't there. I wanted that for Maggie. Her small hand slipped out of mine as she turned to look up at me. Brady was waiting in the truck for us. His being there was the only way her aunt and uncle would approve of an overnight trip.
I want to talk to her alone, Maggie said softly.
I bent down and pressed a kiss to the corner of her mouth. Take all the time you need. Then I turned and left her there to face her past and her pain. I wanted to hold her hand while she did it, but I wasn't going to force her. I just wanted to be there when she needed me. Brady glanced over at me and frowned when I opened the passenger door. "You leave her there all alone?" She asked to be alone. He sighed and picked up his phone and then handed it to me. "Just got this text from my dad. He didn't call because he was afraid Maggie would hear him. They want to tell her." I read the text several times as my stomach twisted and my heart felt heavy. Her father had hanged himself in his cell this morning. There were no details on how he'd managed to do that. Maggie acted as if he was already dead, but how would this affect her? I turned to look at her as she stood by her mother's grave. She had faced so much that I hated adding more to it. I wished I could keep this from her, but I knew she deserved to know. Seeing her hurt was hard. I called Dad. He said her dad left her a letter. Dad is going to get it and read it first. We don't know if she should see it. She just started talking and living life again. Don't tell her without me there, I told him. We won't, he replied. One day we would look back at this time, and the pain wouldn't be so fresh. I wanted that day to get here.
I cried for me. Chapter 49. Maggie. I'd fallen asleep at some point on the drive home. My head was tucked against West, and his arm was around me. I could feel his fingers gently playing in my hair. He made me feel warm and safe. I'd needed that after visiting my mother. I hadn't been prepared. Knowing her body was underground was one thing. Seeing the actual grave was another. West's hand in mine had given me the strength I needed to face it. Once I had been sure I wasn't about to fall to the ground in a sobbing mess, I'd let him go so I could talk to her. I'd told her all about life with Uncle Boone, Aunt Coralie, and Brady. I'd started from the day I'd arrived, and I'd tried to tell her all the important things, especially about West and his dad. When I'd finished, I'd realized West was right. Talking to her had made it feel as if she were close to me somehow.
Dad's texting me. He wants to tell her tonight,
Brady's voice said in a whisper. Her, as in me? What were they talking about? West tensed underneath me, and I stayed still, my eyes closed.
She needs a little time after seeing her mom today,
he said so softly I wondered if Brady could hear him. Brady sighed.
I agree. I'll talk to Dad. Your mom's home again, right? Didn't she come home last week?
West's mom was home, but she was acting strange. I knew he was worried about her. She had left so abruptly after his father's death and had gone to stay with her own mother, leaving West to deal with things alone. It didn't seem like her at all. Now that she was back, she was acting odd, forgetting things, burning food, sleeping half the day.
Yeah, she's home,
he replied. The worry in his voice was obvious. I wanted to hold him and promise him it would all be okay, but I couldn't do that because I didn't know for sure that it would be. I waited to see if they said anything more about what my uncle wanted to tell me. When they didn't, after several minutes, I stretched and slowly sat up.
About time you woke up. You've slept most of the drive,
Brady said in a teasing tone. West chuckled and pulled me to him as he kissed the top of my head.
Leave my girl alone. She's had a long day.
West knew what my Uncle Boone was going to tell me. If I asked him, he'd tell me. He wouldn't keep it from me. I tilted my head up to look at him. He tilted his head down to meet my gaze. Thank you, I said.
Anything,
he replied. He didn't have to say more, because I knew what he meant. He'd do anything I needed, anything I asked of him.
Can we stop it with the sweet shit, please? Y'all aren't alone,
Brady said. Wes smirked. I loved that smirk. I waited until Wes went home to check on his mother before going downstairs to confront my Uncle Boone. Brady and Wes knew something I needed to know, but they both wanted to protect me. As much as I appreciated that, I wanted to know what it was. Uncle Boone was sitting in his recliner, a book in his hands. He looked up at me over his reading glasses. I saw a brief flicker of concern before he masked it and smiled at me.
"Did you have a good trip?"
he asked. I needed that. To see her, I told him. But I also need to know what it is that Brady and Wes don't want me to know yet. Uncle Boone frowned and then put his book down before taking off his glasses.
"You been through a lot today, Maggie."
I had. He was right. But that didn't change the fact I had a right to know this secret that affected me. I want to know. He motioned for me to sit down across from him on the sofa. I considered telling him I would just stand, but I walked over to the sofa and took a seat. He clearly didn't want to tell me whatever it was, and I knew it had to be something to do with my father. I gripped my hands tightly in my lap and waited. Uncle Boone studied me a moment before speaking.
"It's your father,"
he began. The dread and fear that came with those few words sank in.
"He's dead, Maggie. They found him this morning."
He's dead. Two words that should mean sadness, devastation, pain, but that only gave me a sense of emptiness. I wanted to feel relief, but I couldn't. He'd taken my mother from me, cut short her life, and ruined everything. I wanted to cheer that he was gone, that I'd never see his face again. But I couldn't. Instead, I just sat there, repeating those two words over and over in my head. It was over. He's dead. The good memories I had of him didn't outweigh the bad. There were too many bad, too many sad memories, too many regrets. My mother had been a beautiful object he'd wanted to own. In the end, he had owned her, then thrown her away as if she were nothing. She'd loved him. I had seen it in her eyes and in the way she wanted to please him. Yet nothing she did was ever good enough. She wasn't what he'd hoped for, yet he hadn't been able to release her and let her live her life. He had kept her only to destroy her in the end. To destroy us all. I always believed he loved me. I had moments where he made me feel cherished and precious. I wondered if my mother had had the same, if that was why she'd loved him so much. But he hadn't been worthy of our love. I had hated him. I had wished he were dead. And now he was. There was only emptiness, a void inside me.
"Maggie, I know he was your father. No matter what."
"No," I said, stopping Uncle Boone from saying more. "No, he wasn't my father. He stopped being my father the day he took my mother from me. Don't tell me you're sorry for my loss. Don't say that it's okay for me to grieve for him, because he's been dead to me for 2 years. This just finalizes it." Uncle Boone didn't try to say more. I stood up and hurried back to my room, where I could be alone, where I wouldn't have to talk. Aunt Coralie came and knocked on my door a few minutes later. I assured her I was okay and wanted to be alone and didn't want to talk about it. She didn't argue with me. An hour later, my bedroom window slid open and West stepped inside. His face was etched with worry and concern. I stared up at him from my spot on the bed where I was sitting with my knees folded under me. The hollowness where the pain should be shattered, and the first tears broke free. He was on the bed, pulling me into his arms before the sobbing started. While I was safely tucked against him, I cried for all I'd lost, all I'd never have. I cried for my mother and how tragically she'd died. I cried for West and his dad, and I cried for me.
Epilogue. West. It wasn't until we were sitting at Brady's, looking through old photo albums several weeks later, that I realized who she was. It was the Christmas that Brady and I were in seventh grade. He'd had to go to Tennessee for his family's Christmas party, and he begged his mom to take me with him. I had been before, and I knew how boring it was, but he was my best friend, so I went. We always took our football and tossed it outside, even in the snow, while the party went on. The only time we went in with everyone was to eat. There weren't any other kids but a girl. I had seen her a few years ago, the last time I came to this thing, but I hadn't seen her this visit. Not that I was looking. Brady had gone inside to help his dad, and I'd decided to explore the house. I didn't get that far before I heard someone crying. I debated going inside the room, hoping whoever it was didn't notice me standing there in the doorway. But she lifted her head, and the prettiest green eyes I'd ever seen looked directly at me. Long dark hair framed her face. The pink and silver bedroom reminded me of something from a fairy tale. It fit her. She sniffled and continued to look at me. I wasn't sure if she wanted me to leave her alone or to ask her if I could do something. My mama hadn't raised me to run off and leave a girl crying, so I'd walked over and sat down beside her. "It can't be all that bad. It's Christmas," I said, hoping to lighten the mood. I didn't mention the fact she reminded me of a princess, and I'd never seen one of those cry on television. She sniffed again and wiped at her face.
"It doesn't feel like it," she'd whispered back.
What with all the Christmas music and the way this house is decked out with more decorations than the entire town of Lawton, how can it not feel like Christmas? The girl looked away from me. Her face remained sad.
"Not everything is what it seems. Not everyone is what they should be or appear to be."
How old was this girl? She talked like she was grown, but she didn't look any older than Brady and me. "One of your friends do you wrong?" I asked. I knew about girl drama. Happened at school all the time.
"I wish," she whispered,
not looking back at me. She wasn't a real open book. I was getting tired of trying to cheer her up, but I obviously sucked at it. "Whoever it is isn't worth your time if they're making you sad like this." Finally, she glanced back at me.
"We don't always get to choose who we give our time to. We don't get to choose our parents, for example. And we don't get to make their decisions for them. So it's not that simple. He's my dad. I love him. I have to love him. But he hurts her. She tries so hard to make him happy, but he's always off with someone else. Like tonight. He's supposed to be here. He promised her he would be."
I didn't know what that felt like. My parents loved each other, and I could never imagine my dad hurting my mom. But it sounded like this girl had a very different life. One I wasn't envious of. Even if her house was bigger than the church I went to on Sunday, it was even bigger than Gunnar Lawton's house, and that was big. "Then yeah, that sucks," I said, not knowing what else to say.
"Yeah, it does,"
had been her only response. Brady had called my name then, and because I didn't know what to do or what to say, I left her there. When she'd come to eat, I couldn't make eye contact with her because I felt guilty for not being able to help her, and for knowing her secrets. We were both in the photo that they'd taken that night. When I saw her little girl face, the memories came flooding back. I'd completely forgotten about that girl and what she'd told me. But that Christmas, I remembered thanking God for my parents. I realized I'd been blessed with good ones. "That was you," I said, looking at her as my heart broke for the little girl I wanted to go back and hold. She'd shared her secrets with a stupid boy who'd done nothing to make her feel better. She frowned as if she didn't know what I was talking about, and then her eyes lit with understanding.
"Oh my God, I forgot. I was so upset that night. But it was just one of many nights I felt that way," she said, as her fingertip gently brushed over my face in the photo. "You were the only person I ever told that to. I regret that, not telling anyone my secrets. I might have saved her if I had," she whispered, lost in her thoughts.
I pulled her against me. I wasn't going to let her dwell on her regrets.
"You were a kid. We both were. confused kids who didn't know the right answer to anything. He was your father. You loved him. Don't blame yourself for something you couldn't control.
Maggie laid her head on my shoulder and her hand on my chest.
Thank you, she whispered.
I kissed her head. I love you.
I love you too, she replied.
I had always been told my future was on the field and I could be somebody great. And I had wanted that, until I found somebody who needed me. And I realized the only person I wanted to be great for was her.
Until Friday Night was written by Abby Glines and read by Olivia Song and Sebastian York. Editing and post-production by Common Mode. Paul Fowley, technical director. The associate producer was Louisa Solomon. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. Until Friday Night is available in print from Simon Pulse.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.